Okay, Slavisa.
So let's define what we're doing tonight so that we can make sure we achieve our objectives.
Yeah, I just want to get in a big one. I know, I think to Jared's point, let me just back up for if I may. I think the August 18th meeting is going to... What? Brett, focus.
I got to find the squirrel first.
Do you want him here?
Please.
I don't want him leaving without talking to me, so...
Okay, can we go on? Or do we need him here for...
I'm worried about his squirrel home without...
Hey, you go. You go.
Okay.
I know about this stuff, so.
Okay. August 18th, is going to be our discussion at Slavisa. That's going to be our meeting, really, where we can fine-tune, because we've already approved, we've given clearance.
Yeah,
or
approved is not the right
number. 9.5, up to 9.5, so we can get it noticed. However, August 18th will be the meeting where we will either alter that percentage, as well as fine-tune the model that we're going to be comfortable with. But I think to Jared's point, so personally, I don't want to get into an in-depth discussion at this point on those particulars, unless you feel...
You don't want to talk about percentages tonight.
Well, I don't think we need to until we get closer to August 18th. I think what we want to do tonight is address Jared's concerns about the validity of some of these numbers and such, and any other background that he needs so that he can be in a position for the August 18th.
Yeah. I'll try to state it succinctly. You identify that there could be inconsistencies in the model. I think we all need to be aware of that and then identify if we need Slavisa to come back with any changes to the model or any changes to assumptions so that we can use that to make an educated decision on behalf of the city.
Mm-hmm. So, thank you. What point did I make about that today?
Go back a couple emails.
So as far as that goes, as far as inconsistencies, it's really just a matter of what assumptions we're making. So in the previous meeting we had, I felt that everyone was in a mode of thinking based on us playing around with this model and the fund balance, where after Brett and I's meeting with Andrew Kennington, where I asked him some pointed questions about certain things that I noticed on the spreadsheet and made those adjustments, it greatly changed that fund balance, which I thought would be interested to see that going forward.
So great.
Really that
point. Good. Okay, let's do it.
As far as Slavisa in general and that meeting, I think negotiation is interesting. There's several points I could bring up we can talk about later, but I thought it was interesting. Bradley's comment of, well, I don't want to go... He made a couple comments. One was, what's the big deal from 9 to 11? It's not a big deal. The mayor did a very good job, for those who weren't there, explaining we want to be a good partner. We're willing to, for the point of noticing it and discussing it later, we're willing to go from 5 to 9, we're just asking you to come down a little bit, and he wouldn't budge, and I felt kind of browbeat a little bit over that. And then made the comment, well, I'm afraid that if we notice at 9, it'll end up being 7. That's what the mentality would be.
Just but it was noticed at 9.5? Or was it noticed at 11?
Yes, 9.5.
There was clarification there that they can't do an up to on the official notice. It has to just state whatever that is. But then there is an addendum or an amendment or a discussion item next to it that can get the clarification. It can be up to.
They asked the mayor to meet him halfway, they seemed intense, and they're doing 9.5.
That was so ridiculous. I'd sit back there. Would you consider something less than 10 more than 9? Like, it's not a big deal, it's not a big deal. So do you want me to just...
Yeah,
you really
are.
Right. Here, yes. I was just going to take notes on what you guys wanted to discuss.
Go ahead.
So the questions that I asked really just had to do with, one, fundamentally what made up, because he and I emailed a few things, and what makes up the indirect revenue, what makes up the indirect expenditure allocation. I was just clarifying some of the numbers, but what really changed the numbers when we went through this, let's see if I can... computer. So the numbers I really looked at was this percentage indirect revenue allocation and then this percentage indirect expenditure. So just notice the
how are they
the spread. I don't know that I can do it justice, but he explained what goes into that, because it's basically, I don't have it on here. Oh, no. It's more or less this calculation that's done every year, adjusting the market value and all of that kind of thing, which is fine. I was fine with that explanation. But what really was a sticking point for me, just, I guess, to explain why I kind of picked this apart, this is what I do for a living, is future forecasting. Right, and future modeling and whatnot. So there's some things that you have to, in the projection, you make assumptions. Mm-hmm. And so your projections are only as good as the assumptions that you make. And I think they've done a really good job with a lot of those, but there are a couple things that didn't make sense. The biggest one that makes the difference, I don't worry with all of the nerdy stuff that I find fascinating, but this spread, the difference between these two numbers. So you see that we've got a positive spread between, right? Mm-hmm. Revenue to expenditure. Same thing for Riverton and the county. If you look at those as we go along, for some reason, Harriman's looks a little strange to me as we move over each one, the difference between those two numbers. And what caught my eye was when I went back in and said, okay, well, what if we take away the three allocations, but we build in just a 4%? Maybe I should do that. So if we just say every year we're going to do a 4% increase to...
Are you taking out the allocations?
Yeah. So if we just, even if we take that out, and we put in a 4% tax increase to account for the inflationary increase, because mm-hmm. fundamentally, correct me if I'm wrong, all these discussions I've sat through, the problem in years past is that the board has not approved a tax increase at all, and they more or less used our new growth to pay for the inflationary increase.
That's not entirely accurate. They have used the district's new growth to include any change in Salt Lake County and also...
I'm going to overrule you because I asked Andrew that question and he said yes.
Well they are a percentage of that new growth, but not entirely of that new growth. So the $600,000 that was brought into Slavisa in new growth in last year, we represent somewhere around the 250 to 300,000. So, of the $600,000-ish, we're about 300,000 of the new growth.
Half of it.
Yeah, and so that's reflected. How do I get this to scroll?
Two fingers
on the pad in the slide. That's
what I'm trying to do. It's like it's an apple. So it'll slide that way.
So
if you close that, now I can
move
up and down.
You slide up and down with your two fingers.
See? Or put your fingers or next to each other instead of up and down.
Sorry.
Second. Isn't there just an arrow on this? There you go, Jared.
Well, would you mind watching for my wife? Take this up.
Jared, I got this. You can just use the arrow.
Got it.
Which can you feel? That bag right there. Oh.
I'm using an actual mouse. I thought you were going to, like, put that mouse
to
give
it
away. I was like,
oh,
yes, maybe.
No.
Person.
I brought my friend.
An actual mouse. Really? For my wife.
Thank you. Stories. Okay. It's just the glass. Okay, I'm still having the same problem. I can't move it up and down to see.
The top frames are freeze. That's what's going on.
Okay, so the new growth, and this is the old number, right? The new number is like over 300 that came in. So what Chief is talking about is total district new growth, 600 of that, we're 230.
Okay.
Right, so when I say, I'm being selfish when I say our new growth, mm-hmm. right, basically use the entire district's new growth to pay the inflationary cost. So what I looked at when we were playing with it that night, and the reason I was insistent just show the inflation, was then I was looking at, okay, well, if we just account for that.
So you've got inflation and pooled services increases of 4%, and then you've got a tax increase of 4%.
Right, so if we make this 4% across the board, in a proper model, it should be consistent, right? We should be able to look at the fund balance, and year to year, it's going to be
4%.
Look at your 20.
Yeah, I'm good to...
Except your
2020
is also...
44%.
Yeah.
That really helps our fund.
Yeah, we don't want that. Craig would want that.
Good to meet you, Bradley.
So,
we'll go to 42, and that's it.
Yeah, right.
So,
I'm going to give you 41.5.
Yeah. That's right.
So just talking numbers, because I think everybody is kind of looking at these numbers down here, right?
Yeah.
Is that the one, the percentage of operating revenue?
It's further down.
Is it further?
It's the
least.
It's your fund balance. Where's your fund balance?
So
I think it was
Yeah, so we're just above that. Is you talking fund balance?
Yeah.
Yeah, so go up just one more right there.
2.5.
So that's the dollar. That's a dollar amount, though.
Right. Is it the 1407 though? Because it's a percentage.
Because that's the other thing.
Yeah.
54.
Row 54. Where?
Does all that belong to you? Is it row?
Hey, buddy, just grab that bag.
This bag or the small bag?
The big one. Both of them. Just take both. Take a shower. And then soccer practice. So, I guess that's the first thing, is like, I think when we were scrolling across, I remember everybody talking percentages, what percentage were we looking at, because I didn't see where it gave a percentage fund balance to have this percentage of operating revenue.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So the question is this a true fund balance?
So
that row 54, your question is that really the fund?
Yeah, is that a percentage fund balance we're talking about?
It does look a little off with us being 75%, but are all of our assumptions correct? We don't have another 44% in there.
Yeah, it's freezing thing. Okay.
The calculation of the percent of fund balance is your fund balance divided by that budget of revenues.
Okay.
Or expenditures. You
okay.
Do it both ways.
We'll give you the numbers and you can quick calculate.
Can't see it.
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time working this thing.
You're fine.
Is this freezing?
Is that your computer? Well, yeah. Maybe we should have Dwayne drive. Just
maybe the operator, yeah, maybe she should drive it because it's like
you're trying to disconnect the mouse.
It's the freezing thing that's gone.
Yeah.
We can unfreeze it.
The frozen pain. So.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, unfreeze it.
Is it view?
It's a view.
Or is it? And then unfreeze.
Okay, hold it. Okay. So that was the initial thing, was looking at these. The spread, basically, between revenue and expenses, especially when it came to those future years.
So, I'm sorry, what happened to our other...
4%?
Yeah, the 4%.
We're at 2012, 13, 14.
These are the prior years.
Okay, I see. So we actually have the actuals for those.
Yeah, so,
okay,
so when we look back, there's generally a positive
spread. Mm-hmm. Good.
Lower expenditures than... revenues, but as we went forward, and so it looks like, is this a new one?
17 is the new year, is that what you're asking?
You took out the allocations.
You took out the three allocations.
No, this is the new spreadsheet?
This is
yes.
The
uh-huh. Yep.
Okay,
good.
Because the question I had asked Andrew, and he didn't have the new one at that time,
mm-hmm.
but it made a big difference in when you already saw it, was that in the model we were looking at, the revenues were lower than the expenditures.
Okay.
So there was, with the inflationary increase calculated into it, our fund balance was still decreasing. Mm-hmm. That's when everybody started to freak out, oh gosh, maybe we need more. Mm-hmm. And so in our meeting, I asked Andrew four separate times. The first three, I didn't get the answer. Mm-hmm. And finally it was, well, yeah, something's probably wrong with that number. We could probably just make that 10.47 going forward. So that's been corrected in the old one. If they didn't just take my computer, I'd show you what the old one mm-hmm. has. And it was 9-something. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was lower than the expenditure. And so that difference was causing our fund balance to go down because our expenditures were higher than our revenues, mm-hmm. and that just wasn't an accurate assumption.
Right.
And so in this one, if you haven't looked at it, I mean, it makes a gigantic difference going down to the...
What made our expenditures go up like that to make that fluctuate?
Well, that's the thing. With future modeling, you're making assumptions.
They're averaging.
So he's averaging past numbers for expenditures. His explanation to me was, well, in doing the model, we have the actual expenditure numbers. So I was able to use those actual averages, but we don't have the actual revenue numbers. So basically, that's why I had to ask four times, basically, because I'm guessing on the revenue.
When you say he's got the actual expenditures and not the revenue, why would he have one and not the other? Is it because we're using past expenditure averages and we're not really...
Well, he has them, just not for the most recent year. So he's got 13 and 14, but probably not 15, because they won't get the true numbers until after this rolls through.
Yeah, so even in this, his new growth number is incorrect.
Right.
New growth number is like 300-something thousand, yeah. Versus here it's 230. But he has adjusted that revenue number on this one. So I shouldn't want to take my computer so I can show you the one that
fiscal year
gave us, because there's, on each of these years going forward, our expenditures were higher than our revenue, and it was making it look way worse.
So was he not accounting for the growth?
But he said he had to update the numbers. I mean, he kept saying that over and over, too. I was seeing the numbers.
We got those
Monday late afternoon. That was on first year Friday.
Yeah. I mean, in
but that's
financial guide talk,
that
means that answer three or four times in a row means I don't know. Mm-hmm. That was what that answer was. And so when I asked him, is okay, well, what, tell me, I mean, he agreed. He's like, yeah, that's not accurate. There is a glitch there, something. So we could put in this number, 10.47. So he just looked at the last most recent one and said, you know what? Yeah, for 2017, especially with this number for 2017, that's probably going to be more like 10.47. So he has adjusted that, and this one looks accurate.
He's got a rolling,
that part is accurate, but he still has the old new growth number.
Okay, so
they're intentionally guesstimating that number low.
Mm-hmm. Because it would be better for us
again,
to be higher, but it does contribute to what we need in the tax increase.
Yeah, so again, the assumptions you put into it greatly affect it. So in my assumptions, I propose to find them always on the conservative side, mm-hmm. right, for that reason. So I'm okay with the new growth number, and I told them that. I'm like, keep it at 230, put it at 200. That's good modeling, in my opinion, to be conservative.
You know.
But it was the difference between the revenue and the expenditures that was putting us in a hole. And the number we kept looking at was this percentage, mm-hmm. right? So, and going back to, again, maybe you got to freeze them so you can see the top line. So this is 2013. If we go out to the future years and down to that percentage, rather than the 25%, 10%, I mean, we're way up here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the line that we were looking at in those. Notice this Riverton, the county, they're still there. So
what's the formula that's in 62.92? What's the formula that's in?
That's supposed to be
AG 51 and AG 28.
So 51 is in line right below it? No.
What's up? I thought it was your new bodies for one.
AG 51.
In fund balance from 28.
Divided by the revenue.
Total revenue. So that's
fund balance and the revenue.
Correct. So that's what I looked at. I was like, oh my gosh, this is a shockingly different number that everybody needs to see going into this. When we look at Harriman as a silo, we need to even know
that. The problem, though, as I see it, is that we have already decided and we're essentially committed to being part of the district. So with our district hats on, we've got to consider the health of the district, because it doesn't help us to put the district in a bad financial position, especially if we do end up with the their market coming up. You know, we need to be careful and make sure we're being mindful of all of our partners as well.
So that was that one point. That was my concern, is that's the number, that cell right there on each slide, that's the number we were looking at that night. That made us kind of panic a little bit that it was decreasing. Oh my gosh,
and you want to see that big number up there, that big percentage? I'm actually sidling and smiling, because if we start plugging in the bodies we know we need to get our staffing up where we need it, we're going to get there quick.
Does that,
so let's put in three.
This is not putting in the three.
Let's put in the three, because that's our allocation.
Let's put in that allocation and then project future allocations and see where we're at.
We're talking about three this year, three next year, and 2 year after that is what we're looking at right now.
So let's put that in, Jerry.
That's eight
officers.
So my major concern as we look forward and we start talking about dollar and we start looking at all that stuff is we're all very upset that in 2012, 13, 14, and 15, and then really 16, we have been told no, that you're not going to get new allocations because there is no money. And to the same point that they are spending money that we're bringing in for the betterment. Now, I also have to say that was a board decision. We mm-hmm. voted in favor of that in 3 years in a row. So we didn't go into that blind, but we took our hits on that. My concern is if we're ultra-conservative looking forward, that we're doing the same thing to ourselves that they did to us moving forward, because we're not taking into account that our population is increasing as we move forward, and so we've got to look at allocations realistically and say, what is that going to do with our overall fund?
That's really what the new
money
is. So let's plug in where we're going to need bodies.
We're still, new growth is exactly what we're trying to utilize to do that, and there is going to come a point when we're going to get to there. So there's a fundamental discussion that we need to have about the formula, which is going to be accurate once we get to a manpower that is consistent with our demographics, and then we use that to add new allocations for in the future. But for now, we're looking at trying to, we want to be conservative, but we don't want to be ultra conservative. Does that make sense? We're getting destroyed right now, in case anybody was
what do you mean?
So,
what do you mean we're
getting
destroyed?
We don't have enough
manpower.
Can't
so have a shift. So to Carly's point, to kind of separate the two issues, one is this tax increase. Right. So that was my only thing with this, is that seeing the actual number, like we're in way better shape than what we were thinking. Better than I think anybody.
And that's what's led to the skepticism about them, because we were told different.
That's what I want to see.
Just me personally, philosophically going forward, and Brett's made the point several times that I agree with, is, well, we need to keep up a high service level. We need to have the manpower to keep our call volume down and have that community that we need. And I would agree 100%.
Top of our call volume.
Yes.
So I don't know if you want to go this discussion or not, but I just want to make this point as far as this LaVisa thing goes. So what? This is just me coming into it from January to now and observing in these meetings and looking at the dynamics. My concern with LaVisa and just your point, Chief, is the board making this decision, right, these decisions, is that we may have the fund balance, but we still may not get the bodies, because the board decides that there's not enough money for the district to do that.
And I agree with that statement, because there's something there to help capture that and put the board on notice that ability. But Thursday at Slovisa meeting, I think there was some administration. They don't want to hurt their partners. Michael Jensen was not willing to go to 11 because he says, we got to be sensitive to our partners. And they have the votes. They could have packed it in and done whatever they wanted.
But the only challenge, so that
is it is a challenge.
Is the dynamics of the board. Michael may not even be on there.
So Michael Jensen made a good point. I took minutes.
So we get a
meeting and
everybody. Right now, 10.
So the concern I have there, and Mike Jensen actually made the point of saying, Mayor suggested that in the proposal that they say our intention is to have an annual inflationary tax increase, right? Because for, again, being selfish for Harriman, in my opinion, money-wise, finance-wise, inflation is a fact of life. You mean inflationary costs?
Right.
In order for us to get new officers in the future, we need to have an inflationary increase every year.
Right. Yes, we will.
And then we use our
new officers, in fact. We need to be able to fund the medical plan.
Okay, new officers are separate. So just inflationary costs of medical plan, wage increases, et cetera,
yes.
Vehicle maintenance, et cetera. That's the 4%. That's not new officers. New officers needs to come.
What it does is protect our new officers.
Right.
Our new growth.
New growth is what needs to pay off our new officers.
I agree with that statement.
Right?
Yes.
So the concern.
Our new growth will keep up with us.
And I think we all should have is Mike Jensen made the point that, well, one, I don't know if legally we can do that.
He doesn't want to bind future council.
We can't bind future boards to have that increase. And he even said, I may not be here, and then we're going to have, he called out and said, we're going to have Magna and Mill Creek and Kearns and whatever.
They may not want
an increase.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm new to politics. Mm-hmm. I'm reluctant to say I'm not new to politics at all. But if I were a betting man, I would bet you good money that there will not be future tax increases.
I really doubt we would see an annual tax increase.
Do you really think politically that board of, I mean, right now it's five, it's going to go to how many?
I agree with Jared because last year, because certain people vote for election, they went down on taxes because they don't want to do it this year. They should have last year.
Mm-hmm. Which is going to hurt us. If we don't have any model that has any future growth, we're going to go right back to where
we'll
we were.
We'll end up in the same cycle. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So if we stay in Slavisa, the conclusion I came to. If we stay in Slavisa, well, then heck, we need to go for 11% now because we're not going to get another increase for 5 years. You know what I mean?
Well, hopefully people will be brought up to speed.
Well, what will happen is then they'll bleed off of our growth and increase, our surplus in our fund balance. Because there's no new taxes coming off, someone's going to have to pick up the 3 or 4% increase each year. Guess who's going to pick it up?
We'll have no choice.
So we're going
to
take it.
The cold hard facts to me. This is just me analyzing this, and then I'll shut up and sit in the corner and you guys can do whatever.
I doubt that letter part will happen.
But the more I look at this, and every meeting I go to, the more I'm convinced that Slavisa just is not going to work for us in that regard. We're not going to get the new officers that we need in the future.
Okay. Well said. Hey, it's getting kind of late, and I'm getting
involved. But can we let the chief make any comment to that? Because we need to plug in those allocations.
What he sees
know.
Is our needs now and next few years out. What that does to your phone.
You know what I'd like to do on two assumptions? You know, we can do the future growth, but let's just say, to Jared's point, there is no increase. Mm-hmm. And how does that affect
Harriman's
us?
Harriman's probably still trying for a year to get out with it if they start playing that card. Our fund balance will still hold us that year. He was trying to get to...
Good job, Jared.
Thanks, sorry,
Beth.
That was helpful.
I think it's true.
John's still here.
All of it?
Yeah. John, the question we've been telling council, I want to be known if I'm correct in telling this, is we've been telling council if our council chooses to leave Slavisa at public vote, which we all know that is the truth, but the city itself cannot advertise
We can't get out worse.
You can't take a position. You can certainly advertise there is a vote. You just can't take a position, but you can educate that there is a vote. You can do that.
You can educate there's a vote, so it happens. You can't tell.
You can't take a stance.
Side both sides.
But you can give both sides a pro and con, and you can say there's going to be a vote.
So who's going to
Yes, I don't know about that.
Yeah, this is a different circumstance because this isn't a
referendum. It's not an initiative or a referendum.
It's different.
It's like, what side are we going to take? Herbert or not?
Advocating and doing something. Yeah. I think the jury's out.
JJ.
Wait, what are you? Yeah. I'm JJ.
So now, I'll say one more thing.
So what is your opinion on that?
I don't have this.
Okay.
I don't know what we do for that, and then we need to have.
So you're saying in an initiative we absolutely could not.
No, in initiative we can give both sides.
Yes. Okay. So, but what you're saying here is you're not even sure we could give. You just don't know at this point.
I don't know if we can give.
Both. Well, we should. I think that's important to make decisions.
You can certainly say take both.
Can we, as elected officials, say what we
individually?
Yes, because we're speaking as elected officials.
And the city has to stay on your
advocate for one.
We can't use city money.
Yeah, you got to use your personal email, personal Facebook page, or whatever. So I guess as far as process, I'm still wondering where Riverton would be at on this. And let's say Harriman supports it, Salt Lake County supports it, but Riverton does not on this tax increase. Even their whole Riverton City Council does not support it. Let's say their body as a whole doesn't support it, which is unlikely. Well, I know, but I'm saying hypothetically, what would happen?
I don't think it affects us any, because their fund balance is nil. So
the tax increase has to be ratified by all the parties or a majority of the parties. But I'm going to refer back to John on this. But I don't think it's unanimous. I think that it's.
Majority, but if they don't like, let's say Riverton is not a majority on their council.
But I'm saying a majority of the partners, so Salt Lake County and Harriman.
Okay, so regardless of what their council says, then if the majority on the Slavisa board,
the Slavisa board will vote and say we want to go to this route, and then it has to go be ratified by the councils, and it's my understanding, and John could tell me I'm a liar, but that it has to be majority of the councils that ratify that. So if Salt Lake County Council and the Harriman City Council, it doesn't matter what Riverton does because we have the majority of the
Okay,
support.
That makes sense.
So can you go back and answer, you made the point of, I agree with that, after Jared spoke, you agree with what?
I think Slavisa is a crapshoot, and you guys are going to get me in trouble, so keep it here.
Capitalize.
It
underlines.
So there are the advantages and disadvantages to being in Slavisa. And the clear advantage to being in Slavisa is that the dollar that we raise goes to public safety. And in this case, the law enforcement side of public safety. To me, there's a very big bonus in that. In my career, and you guys have probably heard me say this before, I've seen it so many times where we go for a tax increase on the backs of public safety, and the public safety doesn't see a dime of the tax increase that goes through. And so, because people are willing to pay extra money to feel safe. You know what I mean? They're willing to do that. So in that regard, I see Slavisa as a positive thing because those dollars go there. When we draw that back in, and this is really, I promise, no offense to anyone in this room who might be somewhat political and elected to deal with dollars here, but it becomes very difficult to then go and compete against the water line and the street line and all of that type of stuff. We become another one of those priorities and we get lost in the shuffle, and that's difficult for me to say, let's go back to that model. And again, please, no offense to anybody here, that's a difficult model to go to. And it's really, we'll get, just like we have on the Slavisa board, we want to make sure that you are taken care of, and that's great as long as we have this body of elected officials, but we're not binding those future folks. And again,
so if we had a Bass Pro Shop coming in and they wanted X amount of dollars to say, hey, we cut back over here in police, and that's what they do, and all of a sudden I mean, he's gone.
Yeah, there's always a push-up.
So the bottom line to me,
go back to the flip side of what
the,
you're saying.
The bottom line to me is that it's very difficult when we're, and this is Jared's point, when we're dealing with the unknown other entities who have a different perspective on what this is going to be. The county took a beating on the change in the model. They wanted 25%. They wanted to go to a higher tax increase. They want to be sitting over here, and they forget that the county isn't driving the whole model. It should be all the partners driving the model. And Mayor, I think you did an excellent job in this to say, we are trying to meet you halfway. We are trying to be good partners, and you keep beating us down with an 11%. What are you doing, man? You know what I mean? I just kept at it and at it and at it.
Take the vote.
And so I am concerned that I am less concerned than you are, Councilman, about our fiscal folks in Slavisa / UPD are going for a 3% increase, and they're calling that a maintenance increase, and they believe from previous experience that 3% maintenance increase is relatively simple, nothing simple, I get it, to at least say this is a maintenance increase every year. As long as we get in the habit of doing that every year, what we are trying to get away from is the county approach of maintain, big bump, maintain.
I agree with
that.
The
hurts
us.
Mm-hmm.
People. The problem is the political people don't think that way.
Right.
Salt Lake County can maintain that because they have a big fund balance sitting over here behind them that they can absorb that. You know, Slavisa is not in the same position. You know what I mean? We really need to do that incremental increase each time. And where that suits us is that it supports the partner who's bringing in the new growth. You brought us into Slavisa for new growth so that we could be a more healthy district and all that stuff. And then on the other hand, you're telling us, well, you can't use the new growth because you're supporting the rest of the district. Mm-hmm. To me, there's a flaw in that model. And I think that we understand where that came from. And I really shouldn't put any names to that. But she was in the room. Mm-hmm. And that's why.
Sit next to me.
And
sit
that's,
next to you, in fact.
And that's why. Who was driving the who was driving the Sorensen model.
Was he even funnier? Was our little side conversation. It's hilarious.
Was driving the Sorensen model, right? And the one that she prepared. And so every time that there was a counter of a 9%, Jim Bradley looked and, you know, no, we need to go back up, right? You know what I mean? So he was working it to get it back to 11, back to 11, back to 11. And I don't want to talk a whole lot about that, but that's not genuine to the partners over here that are happening. And so do I think that Magna and Kearns and those folks come out? I'm telling you, I've been in Magna, I've been in Kearns, I've been in Mill Creek, and I've dealt with their community councils and all that stuff, and they are very conservative folks. They don't like how the county has been managing their money. They don't like how, particularly in streetlights and in zoning and all of that type of stuff. And I think they're going to come in with a voice of saying, I'm going to rather be over here with these guys that know how to run a city, you know what I mean, rather than listen to that over there. So, but that's just a guess on my part. I'm making that up as I go. But
I'd agree with you on a lot of the regular issues, but when it comes to a tax increase.
No, I agree. Well, particularly Magna, particularly Kearns, because they take, you know, they look at a dollar differently. You know, I mean, that really hits our people that are at the low end of the demographic, yeah. So it's a tough one. It goes back and forth, and where we go. I think though, for now, the to get out of Slavisa is a big if.
I'm not saying we need to do that now. I'm saying we need to have a serious discussion about that and talk about all of the issues that would come with that, and see if it's even an actual option. Like, we've been throwing it out there, but we haven't done any work.
Actually, let me tell you what the turning point will be for
really
me.
Do it.
Is if we do a 9.5 and we go another year and we come up with, say, we need a 3 or 4% increase and we get zero,
they won't do it.
We need to be looking out because we're going to get right back to where we were. And it's, the
what I'm saying is we need
work.
To do our homework.
What's that?
What I'm saying is, I agree with that. I'm saying we need to start doing our homework now.
Right.
Also, if that transpires, we know.
Let me just say, I know there's been a lot of argument on the county side saying they don't think it's going to be much of a difference in the dynamic. I'm arguing, I'd say, no, yes, there will be. I honestly believe you get a person representing Magna and Kearns and Milk, they're going to have a very active voice. They're going to speak out. We don't have enough officers because they're right there living. So I believe the dynamics of that board is going to change.
I would say when that proposal comes that you jump out there and take the lead, and not only if you know where a percent ends up being recommended, that you jump out there and also say, tie it to whatever body use we think we need in this next year. And see if the board will support us in that.
Can I tell you that I am not here to be a salesman. Let's look at what's best for our community and say, let's go that direction. Number one thing that concerns me is that I don't want to make a short-sighted decision of what kind of an increase do we want to do because we might potentially in the next year or 2 years get out of Slavisa. Because the reality is that is a long road to get out of Slavisa. So we should act, and this is not a lecture, I apologize. We should act as though we're going to be in Slavisa and look to the future of what that's going to be, the best case scenario that we can come up with. And if it turns out that we're going to get out, we'll take what we have and we go.
Hope for the best.
Plan for
the worst.
So
I'm saying we need to start.
So with that in mind, put in the allocations that we would need and let's see where we're at.
If you don't mind, just really quick, I got a fancy little PowerPoint here that shows us where we're at. So this is our current model. Right now we have a total of, I think we have 25 total if you count my sergeants and everybody. So right now under this one, apparently I don't have a mouse.
I thought it was still plugged in.
Yeah, it's because I'm in PowerPoint. It's all good. So vacant in that afternoon shift and vacant in the lower afternoon shift. So the issue that I have right now is if I'm trying to get constant manning. Constant manning means that there's nobody in the Unified Police Department that is filling that spot, and so I can get up to 75% of the dollar that it would take to fund that allocation, and I can use it in an overtime. That's called constant manning for us. So we try and constant man those two vacant shifts for a while, and right around Christmas time and all of that, we get a lot of people that want to work those vacant shifts. When we're at the end of June and we're in our user lose cycle, I can't get anybody to fill up. So
everybody's taking vacation.
So Mike Larson asked for vacation on a Sunday, and he is granted that pending, a constant manner to fill his spot to backfill that, and so he gets off. The sergeant ends up his daughter has a tragedy, so he's not around. Our Sunday goes completely unfilled. This happened just 3 weeks ago.
We had a vacation day. The sergeant had a tragedy.
Three weeks in a row, I don't have an afternoon car in that slot. We ended up holding our day shift guys over and calling people in, calling my detectives in. So
that's the term we use for night cover.
So it really is difficult for me when I have just a single slot in that, and some of that has to do with only two people per shift, and some of that has to do with no manpower in that, and those are separate issues, and we're trying to fix both of those. This one is the first one that we talked about. It's the plus three model. If we have those three allocations that were being allocated for this next year, if you see over on day shift there, right now I have, let me give you a little explanation. The upper and lower, I have two sides of the shift. I have people that work Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I have people that work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And our Wednesday is our training day, it's a double back day, but we get people off on Wednesdays for training or schedule adjust or anything else that they have going in there is basically on a Wednesday to try and accommodate for all of that stuff. So if you can see on the lower one in the yellow, Trevor and Mike Marshall, I actually have two people assigned there, but Phil, I only have one. Trevor actually works, he has Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off. So I don't have two sides on day shift because of the way it is. And Ken Cannon, my traffic car over here, is the one that's filling in. And I'll hurry through this. So we would like to take one of our allocations and put it in the day shift so I truly have a 2-2, and I'm working both sides of that. And it frees up Ken Cannon to be an actual traffic car in Harriman, which is a place that we are really lacking based on our call volume. We don't have the availability to go out and do the traffic that we used to have.
That's what they complain about. But I'm not seeing anybody.
I'm telling you, I've been around for a long time, and you go out and you ask the public, you know, I'll pull Part 1 crimes, which is homicides, sexual assaults, you know, rape, all of those types of complaints, their person's crimes. I'll pull those because, oh gosh, people are going to complain about how safe am I in my neighborhood. You go in there, and I guarantee you, nine out of ten complaints are going to be traffic. Why are they speeding through my neighborhood, or why are we doing that? And we're seeing a little bit of that. So we try and focus more on that. We're going to get a traffic car back out. By doing that also, it allows me to get more time. These are my most senior guys, and they can't get their days off for vacation because there's nobody to backfill for them. And that doesn't sound like it's that big of a deal, except for that at the end of the year, they lose. There's no payout for vacation. They lose it. It's a user-lose situation. So the next one is that in that middle one, I'd like to put a third allocation there on that afternoon side. And what that does is that's my weekend, the car that works the weekend shift. So the afternoon shift helps the day shift, it helps the graveyard shift, and it gets some of that stuff going. That one would be a peak shift, actually. A peak shift works from 4 o'clock until 2 in the morning, so it gets more support to my graveyard guys. And then the third allocation is clear over here in the green section over on the right, and what that one is a school resource officer for Providence Hall. Providence Hall came to us and requested a campus school resource officer, so that would be the elementary, junior high, and high school, and they're willing to pay the same rate that Jordan School District does, and that's $40,000 to offset the cost to Slavisa and Harriman City to get that done.
And then the 3 months out of the year, where do they go?
So you're talking our school resource guys?
Yeah.
Finlayson's a truck inspector, so we get all of our trucks and all of the things going right there, and then he does traffic. Yep, mm-hmm. So that's where we're really hot and heavy in the summer. He gets really busy doing that. Lauritsen, thanks to some agreements that we've made for that wonderful Black Hole Reservoir, Scott Lauritsen is now going to work weekends. I can't get a single person. I've had overtime out for Black Ridge for about a month, and I can't get a single person to take the overtime. There's just other overtime that they'd rather do. So Scott Lauritsen is now going to be assigned there. He's going to work Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's going to be his main job, and then we're going to use him to offset some of the stuff over here when we have a hole. Jake Cutright, we have year-round school, so he's basically year-round right now. Currently, Marcus Beckstead is my COP guy. He just went out for surgery today, had surgery on his hand, so he'll be out. So Jake is going to take
Marcus.
Jake is going to take the COP position. He's going to backfill for me on the COP for the rest of the summer while Marcus is out. So, but we have them going. In other times when we need to, we will use them to offset some of these holes over here and make sure. So, like if Lauritsen wasn't assigned to the reservoir, he would definitely be assigned to this vacant shift right here. He would just be filling that in. But we're making a choice here because we need somebody up there.
So, if he's going to the reservoir, we've allocated what, 30, 40,000 for the overtime for the reservoir?
20. So I'm basically using my on-duty time to work the reservoir. I have some people from within the precinct that are going to offset some of those shifts. That'll be billed back to Harriman. That his time right there is actually going to be just it's out of the time that's in there. So does that make sense? So that's the plus three model. That's what's coming to us. That's how we're going to deploy it. The concept is if we can free up some time for these guys on day shift, our traffic numbers will get better. That's going to help as well. Our next one is a plus five model. We're trying to get up to get another one. That new allocation comes here. It gives me another peak car on the opposite side of afternoons. Again, that helps me on my day shift type stuff. And then it puts another allocation on the weekend side of the day shift. Now, again, the thing that we're trying to accomplish is I got my traffic car during the week that can help with this side, and that allocation frees up some bodies, then we can try and get some more. Their direction will be more traffic-related stuff going in there. So that would be the two allocations for there. And then the plus six model is another one, and basically what it does is it puts that allocation right there. It puts that allocation. I lost my allocation. There it is. So it puts my other third day shift car, and that really helps my traffic stuff in that. So I get my three cars here that helps me on both sides. If I have my senior guys taking time off, then I can get them filled, and we can go down to our minimum staffing of two instead of one. I get my three guys here that helps offset over here because they're working a peak shift, works until 2 o'clock in the morning. If it stays busy, they'll hold them over. And then I guess my school's all covered over here. I don't know if you guys knew this, but we have a lot of kids out here.
What did you tell us? We're the highest school short.
We are the highest, yeah. So what's not accounted for in here is if the bond for Jordan School District passes, they're going to build a new high school that will be open in 2019, which means that we will have to put another school resource officer in, so that by itself becomes one. Now, the good thing that your good friendly chief did a little while ago when he argued for Harriman High School is he got that to run through the pooled formula. So for us, it costs, on our market dollar, it costs us a lot less
6 years
for our stuff.
We need to annex the new high school.
And that's part of the madness is how many of those kids are from South Jordan or Riverton going to Harriman High.
So what I've done here is I put that 9.5 in just because that would be the ceiling for it. Here's those three allocations that we put back in that we're already going to get. I would suggest that we probably, to do the plus, that's the plus three model, we either need a two or a three here. If I put a two here, then that's it. And then now we're into 2018. We could probably pick up that other one if we don't get it there. And in 2019, we're most likely going to need two allocations. One of those is the school resource, and one of those is going to be either a traffic or it's getting it. What we're hurting for here is our call volume is increasing and our detective case load is increasing, but we're
it's
not.
It's changed again. See that?
Is that that's because of the added bodies?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
wait, take them back off there. Let's see.
That's the point. It's going to eat into our fund balance.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Yep.
So, and this is just. This is just best. You know, this is just the look into the future and say, what do we do? This is what I would probably do. I don't know how we could address this one, but as we increase, we should be at least adding, by our population, at least one officer a year to try and maintain where we're at. So if we come down here and we now look at our fund balance numbers, we actually maintain pretty well right here. We're still up there at 36%, but we're going to start taking a dive here pretty quick.
Dwayne, could you go up there and look? Let's just give to Jira's point. We don't get another tax increase in 18. Let's just say it flats. We get the 9.5.
Yeah, so take out the 3%.
Yeah, let's go with the 3% since they're in there.
We died really quick.
Well, I know. I'm just saying.
We'll go back and look. So even if we maintain our 3% and we keep going, we're kind of still losing in a negative trajectory. Where we really get hurt is in this year right here.
Yeah.
We're down to
which I'll point out we will because it's only 3% and their inflation increase is 4.
Right. So
here's
so
that.
In UFA it was actually 6% this year and they didn't do it.
So I'm not trying to, this is an argument. So their idea or their concept behind 3% is because they're being so conservative in this number for us right here. That we can make those adjustments as we go, but we're probably in a better financial picture than it's actually showing because we're being so conservative.
There's more new growth in that.
But just at the 3% maintenance. I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
No. I'm just saying that's the crux of my point is where's that extra new growth going? They're showing only 3, and they're. Their inflation cost is 4. That 1% makes a huge difference. It will send us on a downward trajectory, trajectory for sure. And if we're being conservative on the new, there's a reason we're being conservative on the new growth because
we don't
use that extra growth in the district. No.
Right.
Yes and no. So 21 and 22. If we're 5 years out, and we're just doing the bare minimum 3% at that 9.5, we're already below 15% fund balance. So
where's,
now
where's Riverton at this point? Are
Riverton
they, like,
is right here.
The floor?
No, they're going to increase.
That's what they're going
to have.
Oh,
third,
they don't have
Riverton's
any allocations
third from
there.
The riding.
My guess is Riverton will come back in this mark right here, and this whatever year this is, and they will add to bodies. They'll advocate for bodies.
They
there,
have to
because they're gonna. This is where the board, sorry, Mayor, really has to hold partners accountable. You can't get allocations if you're in the negative unless you can really show me a reason that you need some. So, for instance, Riverton, if they put a new high school in Riverton, I would probably argue that they probably need that allocation.
Or
it's going to run through.
One of their extras right now.
Sure. Well, but at this point, they're flush with their allocations, you know. So, so the other thing here, let me go up, Mayor, and do your. Let me go up and do your three, your zeros here. So if we're at zeros, and this is again at that 9.5%, which we initially. When I was doing this the other day in Coraline, or a couple weeks ago at Coraline, we put like a 47% in there. It was really awesome. We could buy anything we wanted. It was really awesome.
50 officers.
So, so here is 2017. Again, that one's not going to change because we're in that, we're still on that 9%. We dropped to 32. We're going to start seeing the difference right here in the third year. And then really we're down here in our fourth year to that 5.9%. Because of that compounding issue. Now that's just
so
we
what
just
year is that
this that. Right. I'm sorry. Let me go back. And we are in 2020, in that third and a half.
So
year.
That 3 years will be back to where
mm-hmm. with no increase. Yeah.
No increase beyond.
But
besides the max increase
but
right now.
Jared, do you agree
have
though?
Max increase.
At 9.5, yes. So do you agree though that if we're getting a signal that they're not going to do a tax increase here? And they're looking at not doing a tax increase here, that we are, our decision's made.
Yeah, we gotta get out.
That's my, my
that's where mine's at.
And that's where the board will be sensitive to that, and they say, we gotta listen to him.
But I'm hesitant to say we have to get out, we need to do our homework
right.
and find out
right.
if that's a realistic option. You know, how does it affect the CDs? How does it, I mean, how do you go about it? I mean, there's so many unanswered questions on that side of it.
Which I think is a good factor because of the future for next year. If we, if it ends up with 3 or 4% this year, the following years, we need that information so we can
calculate.
It's
so
more than a 3 or 4%.
This blue number down here is the new factor for what does the district need in order to maintain that 15% fund balance. So right now, if we did a 9.5 here and a 0 here, we would need a minimum of a 5% in order for this number right here to get to 15%.
Stay.
Wow. I think this what you've seen, the cycle you've seen, I really think that cycle will continue. Politically, I don't think you're going to get bored to vote for a tax increase every year.
So just one last thing, Mayor, and then I'm going to be done talking. 2017, if you start to look at right now, the district as a whole is at 17%. The district jumps to 16.5. We're losing our overall district trajectory, and again, we're down to 10% as a whole. And that's because
that's
Salt,
2020.
So
that's because Salt Lake County is going to take a beating right
so
there.
So we really, because we can't predict a future increase. Really, the 9.5 is the best scenario just to make sure we stay solid.
Right.
Because we're not that far over.
That gives. I think that gives us enough time to do what Jared said. Then we can go through the thought process. But for me, if we don't get anything past 9.5, I think we need to start anyway, even if we get the, with the anticipation we're not going to get the increase.
Yeah,
we start doing our due diligence. Because we've got, 3 years past the 9.5 that we could read.
Something that's been thrown out there is that if we vote for a big tax increase and we leave, then we need to take our fund balance with us. I think
and is that true?
I think
that, is not legally obligated.
Exactly my point. We need to vet that stuff out, too, because if we're voted for
can
a larger increase thinking we're
going
to take our ball home with us when we go, I really doubt that.
The statute says that you're not obligated.
And the
we have the
bylaws that allows you to take your assets after real 5 years, but not Slavisa's.
Well, Slavisa is a taxing district. So the Harriman is not, it's not Harriman funds, it's the district funds.
Exactly.
Now when we left the sheriff's office and became the Unified Police Department, both Salt Lake County, Harriman, and Riverton contributed money out of our general funds. Ours came out of a fee fund, and it transferred over so that Slavisa could maintain a fund balance. So with that thought in mind, it was anticipated that it would go the other direction.
So
but
this is
No guarantee.
But that's a fundamental thing. If you can't take your ball with you, then why are we buying more balls?
Right.
I mean, that becomes a... I don't want to buy more balls for that's a baseball to play with.
So this is the crux of everything. I'm glad that this kind of came to that, because it's almost a damned if you do, damned if you don't scenario. So I think that's what brings us back to the decision now, this tax increase, what do we really want to do? Because I really think from a negotiation point of view, Riverton has said, and I really doubt that Staggs will come into that meeting and say, yeah, we're okay with 9.5. He's going to say 3 or 4.
I don't think
and
so.
And the county has stated, both Mike and McAdams have said, we're not going to go against our partners. I think Bradley would.
But so I think that was only for the approval of the initial notice. I don't think that holds for the... For the actual
vote.
So, I really
I think they'd go against Riverton because
they're not. So here, so what that's.
Riverton's been.
Okay, if it's Riverton and Harriman, though, will they go against us politically? No, I really doubt. So, what my point is, it's going to come down to us.
And that's how exactly how the county is viewing that. They feel that our, at least, approach to looking and saying we want to be a good partner is something that they can work with. Within the district.
Okay, let's
make sure that they did that.
Okay, what was that we missed?
So, what we continued with is when it comes to the vote, I don't know, Chief, you probably...
So with the county, when we talk to the county, we talk to the sheriff, and I've talked to those folks, the fact that Harriman is willing to go and negotiate and play ball and say, we want to be a good partner, they see that as a positive, not necessarily a win, but a positive, because now you can get the two county votes in one of the city, and Riverton's going to have to
pay. Then they can go with it. If we say with Riverton and Harriman at 3%, they're not going to go against that politically. That's a nightmare for them. So really what we decide is going to really dictate
which team
where
we're
this
playing
goes.
With.
So
which gets back to your question, though, you almost need to understand what our options are, to Jared's point, because that really determines what team you're playing on.
But at the same time, if we really ultimate are real conservative, it's going to affect our office allocation. Even if you're going to get out of Slovisa in 2 or 3 years, it's going to affect us immediately in terms of allocation of office.
This will not be a fast process. Let's say that tonight we decide to get out. We're still 18 months away,
right.
Minimum,
so
from getting out.
So you still need buying
and
still need that body, you need to do that.
Still unlikely.
And honestly, still, yeah.
A vote of the people to get out of a taxing, public safety taxing district is unlikely. And I'm not trying to, it's just, where is my money?
If this plays out, I mean, if we get to that point where we feel we have to, I think it would be easy. That's a discussion for another day, though. So, to the mayor's point, it really is a question of what do we do with this tax increase to get the three officers we need. I think that's what this boils down to.
On top of the
because if we do too much, then we're getting it away. If we're forced to get out,
they're already budgeted for three.
With the
only three on top of that.
Well, with the idea, to Coralie's point, we're 18 months to at least 2 years, even if we decided today to do it. We do need to wind this up. I want to go around and ask everyone where they are. I've recommended, I put on the table 9.5. I feel comfortable with the 9.5 because it does two things. Number one, it buys us enough time to get us down the road sufficient and get the officers that we need right now. If we don't do the 9.5, we're not going to get the officers.
If they'll give us the officers in that same agreement.
What's that?
Excellent.
And we're going to make
that.
We're going
to agree to give us the officers.
I don't think we can do that. I don't think they'll agree.
If they don't,
why would they not agree to that?
I don't think they'll.
Things
they're
worrying about your council.
He's not saying they won't give us the officers. They won't make it.
They won't contingent.
But your worry is that if the council decides your budget every year, they're going to give it somewhere else. Well, that's what Slovisa is doing now.
Exactly my point. Which do you think is more likely?
Let me take this. Riverton.
I'll
spend
it.
We have somebody here.
And the new entity.
Would
be
running on board.
I don't know
how they're
going to ask for them. Then they're going to be supporting each other to their new entity.
The way I look at this 9.5% is in this. As long as this line right here is the full Slovisa line. As long as that's better than 15%. As long as that's better than 15%, I think that we can spend our budget, right? Because Slavisa is above what it is. So now we're into that third year where it drops to 10.93, and that again is with no tax increases associated. Then we're that now, but now we're up two and a half years where we can make some.
Only if we do the 9.5.
With no future tax.
Okay,
go down to the fund balance.
If you put their three in that they're including in that, then
9.5 and then
go over one more cell.
So hey,
as long as everyone else's is falling and ours is staying pretty much the same, they're taking our money to fund the other ones, which is the worry that we have that this council is going to do that same thing.
Right.
That's the worry if we go away from the direct tax that's happening to us right now.
Who we're funding is Riverton.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if when the others come in, we will be funding them.
Well, show me a little body of
okay.
Well,
we can. Let me just ask. I want to get from each of you.
Without it,
I need to know where you guys are at. I really do. I'm good with 9.5. So, Jared.
The reason I said 5% in my email emphatically was it's a negotiation.
Just start there.
Bradley kicked our butts on the negotiation, right? And he flat out said it. He said, if we say 11, we might get 9. If I agree to 9, we might get 7. If you go in and say I agree to 9, I mean, it's that, what we say is what they're going to go with. Because Riverton's going to say 3 or 4. So I think to play the negotiation game, you have a floor and you have a ceiling.
Well, we do have our head to say, and we can't go past 9.5.
I think the models that we've done previously, so if I don't agree with one, plug it in, great, but the 6.5 and then the 3 thereafter is what Andrew had drawn out, and that gives us our 3. Like, that's what they're banking on, is that 3% every year sort of thing. I think our top point would be the 6.5.
But Jared, if we don't get the 3 the next year, we're not going to get the officers.
We aren't going to get the 3 the next year, doesn't matter.
Well, then why do we want to do 6.5?
Everything's so up in the air right now. I mean, it really is. It's like if we do this increase of 9.
Because what will happen is you do a big one, and it's a process. And that's kind of what I think I've said from day one, is it's like 18 months to 24 month process to get out.
Right.
And it's going to take us 2 years to get that point, so 2 years past there. If we, I guess my point is, what's the break even? And I think from everything we've looked at, the 6.5 is the break even, where we get our 3.
But only if we get a 3 after that.
What was that for staffing level?
It's the 6.5 and 3 thereafter. That's
let's cut back all revolt.
But we don't know what we're going to get.
But with your assumption that there's no way we're getting 3 after.
What the 3%
every year, but
increase.
No,
so
that's what I'm saying.
The point is, if we do 6.5 this year, we get our 3 officers this year.
Yeah,
right.
That's our big concern, yeah. Right? Is that we get our 3.
Well, we're, that's our guarantee. Then
we know we need more in the future. My contention is that we're not going to get the 3% increase, and even if we did, we wouldn't get more officers because the district would.
This is my concern. Let's say hypothetically the 9% is approved, and correct me if I'm wrong in this, but this is just what I see forthcoming. With the new entities coming on board, potentially in January, that we may need additional allocations and officers, I don't think we're going to benefit from that. I bet we start subsidizing those new entities for a while, and then we're back to square one.
We
shouldn't. We're not starting because this is already in the model.
Yeah, we're already there.
Mill Creek's in the model. Kearns is in the model.
We're already
in the model.
But we're already.
But is what I'm saying is
they're going to
be asking for more.
Yes.
No.
Well, when you kind
of right now it's right by the
count. If you silo them out, you'll see that yes, that's what's happening. But that's what's happening right now.
But it's going to get
this
worse.
Year,
is what
this
I'm
is the current year right here. Counties at 17.26 in their fund balance. We are not subsidizing Solid County.
Nope.
We're subsidizing
only
right here.
Subsidizing
right here.
What I think Craig's saying, when they when they silo those out and show what currently is showing, theirs will not look at their costs or others.
Well,
but right now they're kind of collected. Like that's already built in.
Alan, what are you saying?
But they're going to be asking for more.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're not going to vote for a tax increase. They're going to take our balance, even going into next year.
So that's what you're saying.
What's 6.5?
That's
on
the 6.5, right?
And we'll continue 6.
Not
so
the change is coming in.
What about 9? What does 9 do? My only, I want to protect our allocations. I think that's really important. My only problem with going in at 9.5, my only problem is this gets back to a discussion point we had way back when. This is the one year where we have some negotiation power, and if we go in with exactly what the county wants us to go in with.
They want 11. They want 11.
Do they say 11?
They support their partner.
You think? Yeah.
But that's what I said. Wherever we go to, if that's what you give them, then we have no power.
But we're disingenuous to say, hey, listen, come down. We're willing to come to the table. We come in, and I agree. They played hardball, but we said 9. But then to go back and say no, we're going to go 5.
But that's not what we said. We said we're willing to post. And that's what Riverton said. We're said we're willing to post with the understanding that's not what we're going to be at.
Well, we won't get, if we go 5 or 6, we won't gain more than our three allocations.
The thing I'm looking at,
we're not going to get more than that anyway. Right?
Think this through for just a second. We're at least 2 to 3 years out before you're going to get us a visa.
What's going to benefit us?
9 is going to 9 or 9.5 is going to protect Harriman. We're going to get the allocations, and if they want to say no more increases, then that gives us a window to get back where we need to.
Let me just work on seeing if it's getting the allocations.
Okay, that's a great point, right? So
I put your Ben and Michael Will. There's 2 votes. There's 3.
Chief has stated. County fully realizes that Harriman's the swing vote here, right? So there's some room for to have these discussions and say, okay, this is kind of...
Jim, I don't care what he does.
This is kind of what we're thinking where we're at. Give us some assurances we're going to get those allocations.
Yeah, and you're saying they'll say it. But see, if we can get it on the record,
that's important.
That's very important. We can go back to that and say, no, listen, when we agreed to this increase...
We were with the understanding that we'd get those allocations year over year, and I honestly feel like if it's on the record, the sheriff would be
very reluctant to renege on that agreement.
I agree.
And if we get that, I'm on board.
Are you on board with that?
I like that approach too. You're on board with 9.5 with the assurance that we will get the allocation.
Not just the 3.
No, the 3, right. The 2, the 1.
No, 3.
No, I have 3, 2, 1, 2.
If we get that on the record, then I'm okay pursuing that path. As long as we have this, as long as we do our work to have the contingency.
3, 7, 6, 9, 4. I mean, if we're going to go for the 2, 6.
I'm not sure they're going to go for it, to be honest with you, because they'll say, well, there could be some contingency.
There's your answer. 5, 3, 0. If I say I doubt it's going to happen, you can give them 15%.
I think McAdams and just don't care so much about the fund balance. And they've said that. Always pack that fund balance is Bradley. That's because of Kerry.
So, 2 things that I think that we need to try and drive for this. One is if we can get allocations in the future and we get on the record, I think is very important. And I also think we need to go back and re-hit. There has to be a 3% maintenance increase, a minimum 3% maintenance
increase. And get that on the record as well.
I mean, I know that they can't commit to it.
Well, they can say that's the philosophy.
Mike Jensen and opposed it to Carl that they could have it as a
bylaw.
Legislative intent.
He pulls out his minutes. Let me pull out my
legislative
notes.
Intent.
Which is what they've already done. They've already put on as a legislative intent that it's our intent as a board to do an increase of up to 11%. And I'm talking 6 months.
So it doesn't
6 months ago they did that. And then we wanted to
find them, but says that's our intention.
Or brings the record to public.
We want to do a 3% increase as a maintenance on that. So now the problem as they go is now we're back to that issue of what do we determine to be a maintenance issue. If we're going to do a 6.5, then we want to do a 5.5 or a 6% in the years to come. That's not a maintenance increase. That's a tax increase. You know what I'm saying? So we've got to be really smart how we say, well, let's get the bulk now, and then we'll maintain from here forward.
Okay. All right.
I like those three points.
I'm going to move this discussion up. Well, I'm good. I got it.
Okay.
I got it. It's like a
9.5, 3% maintenance in our allocation.
Well, and we're going to get a commit. We're going to make a public record that we're going to get the allocation. Okay.
And the 3% maintenance.
All right. So are you okay with 9.5 under that criteria?
3% allocations.
Under those conditions, which I dealt with.
9.5.
If we don't get that, I'm at 6.5 tops.
Okay. Craig.
I just don't see us getting it all. I don't.
But if we do.
Okay.
So
what would you agree? We've got a 9.5 on the table.
Thing's a what-if scenario, so play the what-if game.
I mean, if it is...
So let's say we get those. We get those conditions. Where are you at?
I agree. I doubt we'll get it.
I'm going to get them.
Right now, we're making the assumption that we are, though.
So, I hate making assumptions, though.
But that's the game we're playing
okay,
right
so
now.
Okay, so under the assumption, I'll go off what Jared, what you're saying. Which is? The 9% those.
The 9.5.
The 9.5 with the...
On the record that we get the future allocation, not just the three this year.
The three more.
Three.
I just don't see it happening.
But you're okay. We used to
and if we,
9.5.
And if we don't no. get that.
Yeah. No. No. What we used to
three, three, 3 minutes.
What percentage?
3.32.
If it's 3%, 3 to 4%.
You wouldn't support a 9.5.
Wait.
Are the conditions that we just said?
No.
That's not what you just said.
I'm
choosing
myself.
Gary Herbert.
You said you'd support Jared. Jared said 9.5.
I was thinking of saying the 3-4% on that, and I'm in bed by 9 o'clock, and it's way past nine.
You and the mayor.
So with those assumptions of 3% in our allocations, you will not support a 9.5.
No.
You will support a
zero.
What the assumptions?
I just don't think the assumptions are going to happen.
Okay, be honest. You're not going to do any tax increase regardless, right?
You're zero.
All right. Well, let's just be honest.
Wait, we got to downsize?
Yeah, what are you saying? So you are in public safety. Why would you not support increases for public safety to fund health insurance, retirement costs? Those are inflationary costs that have to be paid.
Okay, so I support the inflationary cost of 3 to 4%.
Why would you not support allocations for Harriman?
Well, I do, and the reason is because right now,
0%.
For right now, I think because everything is all there's nothing set right now. I'm hearing different angles of it. Craig, let's take a second.
Let's put zero up there. Let's just put zero and see where it puts us down.
Zero.
Okay.
Zero, as in zero allocations.
We're telling them to take back off. Okay, take them back off the street.
I'm saying.
Salt Lake County Sheriff is okay if we say zero for that. The one that pays you, that's okay. Zero.
They've done it.
Right. So would you
taking
do that to our
money.
Officers? Would you do that to Harriman's officers and Harriman's public, and not provide police service?
No,
you say that we believe in public safety and government. That's a core responsibility of government.
If there's zero tax increase, we never get more.
I'm sorry, I'm ticked off.
No, we will
need
go
those
backwards.
We've got to
take some away. Okay.
You take as many phone calls
who's
as I do about
us?
Why do we not have people on the streets patrolling?
Riverton?
We have to have allocations. We have to have officers.
Okay, so show me. Okay, so show me the first year. Just do 0% for 17, and then show me 4% on 18.
Oh,
except for that's not on the table in the discussion.
0%
for 17.
No way. We cannot not fund public safety.
We did that last year.
Not fund.
That's why we're in the mess we're in.
Exactly. That's what the county's done. Not the county. The board. The board has done this for 3 years. It was the wrong thing to do.
So that puts
we cannot put ourselves a continuing decrease and not fund our officers.
That puts Slavisa at a 9% overall, a 9%. The county
and what year is
at
that?
A 9%. This
that's
is the first
2017.
Year.
Immediately. Well, that's immediate.
Immediate.
Yeah.
We're putting our partners into where they can't.
2018.
They're spending how much? Or how much are they spending down here? $1.2 million.
And then look at that 2%.
That's no three bodies or that three bodies.
2%. This is with our allocation. 2%, 2%. Riverton goes right in the hall. We're
give a good argument.
Now here we are in for us we're in 2019. We are bankrupt.
Bankrupt.
bankrupt. In a matter of 3 years.
We're bankrupting and not paying our police officers. The reason we have government
just so you understand where I'm coming from, and I know it's going to take a while if we decide if we want to pursue a vote of the people to pull from Slavisa. It's hard for me to fathom that we have to suffer for an increase to help subsidize all these others going down the line.
But we're not. We're looking at our allocations.
I'm getting to that. So our first allocations for this first year, in my understanding, is we will get those when?
Immediately.
July 1st.
And
like
yep.
a week and a half.
Get three allocations.
Yes.
Right. Okay, so do me a favor. Enter in the three allocations and then do the 4% in 2017. Let me see where we're at there.
Okay. Three allocations.
The three.
You've already
so
got
no
it.
More. Do that. Do the 4%.
There's
okay,
the three.
So then you put in. Okay, yeah, 4%. No. So there's the bottom. But take out the two. Take out the two bodies, right? Okay, there we go.
Okay, well now where does that put us?
Look where our partners are. 13% and 12% and 0% at Riverton.
That's less than our fund balance is required to be.
The only point that I have here is that we are not subsidizing anyone. We, as a collective group, entered into a taxing district for the betterment of the whole.
I do.
So 4% is not going to cut.
Okay, so what was the 6% then? When somebody threw out the 6%.
What was your top
I think that was you. Were,
no, what Andrew has put out is 6.5 and 3% maintenance.
Yeah. So here's that number down here.
I agree with that.
Here's that number down here.
New allocations are the three.
We get the three.
That's
it.
Assuming we get the
over-year increases. What that does is maintain.
That's my point, is we need to get our three now, and that buys us time.
To get out.
Right.
Is what you're essentially. Your 6.5333 buys us time to get out. 9.5333 is if we stay in.
Okay, so 6.5, and then how many allocations?
No.
Oh, nine, I like that one.
9.5.
The three that we already have allotted.
Maintenance.
But you don't have any.
No, I'm not talking about your allocation.
Not in 17.
Okay, so the 6.5 gets us to where we can actually go through these discussions then.
To get out.
This is where Salt Lake County. This is where Salt Lake County is going to come back and say you're smoking dope.
Yep.
They're at 14.3%. The overall Slavista is barely maintaining 15%, and that is without any increase in dollar.
Craig, I really think if we decided right now tonight we want to get out, it'll take us 2 years.
Absolutely.
Which is why we need the 9.5 just to
minimum. That's like best case scenario.
Okay, so
Craig, take a leap of faith. Trust me. 9.5. Trust me. We've got to take care of our officers. We've got to get the allocations. I'm okay with the cancellation, but we got a big hole in the tire. We got to patch it and get.
Okay. So. What really is the difference? And just show me so I can see visually the 9.5 and 11%, because I want to see where Jim Bradley's coming from on this.
I can tell you.
9.5.
It's a good question. So there's
9.5.
Jim Bradley, I guess. I think Jim doesn't actually know.
That's just what Carrie's telling
him. He's going on what somebody else is telling him.
That's why Carrie's doing this.
And this is my opinion, looking at the numbers. And
hey, she's going like this. Can you work that out? Michael then says,
5-year plan. What are the other
he needs to get off the board.
Things the county wants out of the 5-year plan? Anybody?
So
additional buildings for the defunct stations.
Buildings and?
They're really poor. Allocations and
minor allocation adjustments because the formula doesn't support them at all.
Right.
But what they're trying to do is
the two things they really want that the fund balance does for them is buildings and getting off trans. They want to change
not
the
not get off trans. They will never get
minimize
off trans.
Trans.
Minimize trans. Right.
That's what the fund balance of 25% does for
the board
district.
Agreed to 15.
But that's
the board's agreeing.
I'm just saying that that's
why
they want a higher fund balance is for those things. And my contention is the buildings don't benefit us in a long run.
The first ones don't.
They potentially will.
If we stay in, and as the long philosophical discussion But if we stay in, then absolutely, yeah, then it'll come first, full circle.
We'll get a building out here.
Good of the whole. But that's decades down the road.
The amount of rent that they're paying versus the amount that they could bond for is pretty de minimis when you consider that their budget is that $30 million budget, right?
But they need the balance.
But they need the balance. So they want to use what's in here. They wanted to use that. Right now it's at 9.5%. It's that 1.54% of their $30 million is a pretty good chunk for them to go in on a building. So they're looking to get that number high enough that they can do both buildings at the same time. And the reality is, because they only want to bond once, and who they're going to have bond is Salt Lake County, not...
And already, by not agreeing to the five-year plan, they can't do that.
Right. Anyway. So their concern is, what am I going to... They're doing the same thing we are. What at 9.5%, what am I going to get out of this?
Yep.
And right now, the answer to them...
Is not enough.
Is nothing. They might get some manpower adjustments or whatever.
9.5?
Right.
What they truly want is
they're not going to get stuff. It's not nothing. They're not going to get what they want.
Yeah. Right.
It's not enough.
And they've conceded that, but now they're going to get all they can.
Yeah.
So in the assistance plan that we won't talk about who was sitting next to Jared, that was the sole purpose and drive of Solisa was to get into buildings and not rent anymore. And I think we have done a good job of resisting that, saying, this is more important to us. The manpower that we should get out of that is more important.
I've said several times, if the contracted entities were part of Slavisa and the whole thing is one thing, then the five-year plan works, everything works. But having it the way I view it, I think I've drawn a picture for you, is we've got the service provider, and then we've got the two funding entities, and it's just, as the sheriff would say, it's bifurcated, and it doesn't work.
Well, it does work from the UPD standpoint.
For
it works just fine.
Yeah.
From the Solisa standpoint, not so much. And so that's the... I'm going to stop talking, I promise. So that's the long-time issue with the Unified Police Department is, if it's such a good model that we're going to share costs across the board, then we should all be in the same taxing entity, and it all comes from one fund. And now the UPD and the Solisa board are the same. Because they're driving the same dollar. But we're not going to get to that, because you got the holiday. I can give you all, I'll tell you all about the history. The history of how we got to this point is really going to drive that.
With that and everything we talked about, that's why I think that it is inevitable we have to seriously pursue getting out. Is that a legitimate option?
And that's a discussion for another day, but
sure.
we need to fix the right now and get us on a course and hopefully put things in place. I'd rather stay in Slavisa. I think it's the better model, and it's better for us, but it's appearing like we're not going to go there.
It's got to fix some things.
So, okay, Craig,
okay,
back
so
to you.
So 6.5 gets us 2 years. 6.5 does, really.
No more bars every three, Craig.
Well, it gets Harriman 2 years.
Well, yeah, I mean,
this is where I'm having difficulty with this, because am I looking for the best interest of Harriman and the residents, or do I go look at the district as a whole? It's obviously
the answer
both.
Is yes.
Both. The answer is just yes.
Yeah.
You have to look at both.
Member.
So
we are not a member.
We
are a member right now. We have to consider the health of the entire district.
Okay, so the 6.5%, we increase the subsidy is what we do. If for no other better word, if we go to 6.5%, they just dropped below to 14.32, which means that we are carrying the general fund balance at 15%.
Okay, what does 7% do then? I know it's a 0.5% difference, but...
But you're adding on no more bodies on those three. If you're looking at Harriman, you need to get your staffing, your coverage there.
Yeah, we're not adding any staffing.
So they're still below.
Because the very next year, we need to have
if
our
you care about
Harriman.
I'm hearing different things. The 6.5 gets us the 3 now. It gets us nothing else in the future.
That's right.
So, Craig, the whole crux of my argument, Craig, is
you
that I personally think that we need to plan for more officers in the future. That's what's going to keep this as a good community and avoid... What I get in trouble for saying the West Valley creep, right? If we don't get those future officers our crime level, our call rate, all that.
Safety issues.
We're going to end up in the same cycle. So the whole crux of my argument is saying that we need...
I think we're going to fall in the same cycle regardless.
No, this is a fundamental role of government to provide officers. And I trust in our chief that he will make sure that we
and we're making
maintain
those
our community standards by having enforcement.
That, but I just... 2 years, a lot can change in 2 years.
So if we wait for 2 years
and not do anything, we get worse.
You're going to grow by another 5,000 or 6,000
people.
We get nothing. If we do nothing,
more.
We get
nothing.
Okay, so,
we'll get
the 9 point, the 9.5 with the contingency of the 3.
Well, the only way I'm good with 9.5 is if we get some sort of assurance that we not only do we get 3 now, but we get 3 more in the future. Name your dates.
Not tied to,
but I don't really care if it, within a 5-year time frame we get 3 more.
Maybe you plow roads next year.
That's the only way I'd be okay with 9.5 there.
Our allocations and the 3% maintenance on the record, not tied to.
If they say the plan, yes, Harriman, the plan is for 3 this year, but no assurances in the future, I'm at 6.5.
I can go with.
We're giving money away.
You're good with 9.5 with the assumptions we're making.
With the assumptions, but I doubt we'll get them.
But if they say on the record, Craig, that they will try and get us the allocations that we've outlined,
I agree with you. I don't think it's going to happen. And so if we have that on the record, it's not a guarantee, but it's on the record. And then they go against it. It's easy to make the case.
Right.
The
then we start working towards
exactly.
It helps.
Yeah. Exactly.
So let's make the scenario so we know what we're voting for.
So that's
for.
Why I'm saying,
so
Chief,
what we're saying,
I think it's an easy argument. It's not an easy argument today. 2 years from now, case of
but
so let's let's understand what we're saying right now as we're voting right now. We are saying So we're saying that 9.5, we agree to 9.5, if on the record, not tied to, but if on the record we can say Harriman will get the allocations that we've outlined, 3, 3, 1, and 2, whatever.
3, 2, 1, 3, 2, 1.
Regardless, the allocations that we're talking about and 3% maintenance. So that's the scenario that we are nodding to. 9.5 with those two clarifications, yes? Mm-hmm. 9.5.
I agree. I doubt it will happen.
All right, stop that. We're making that assumption.
But that's
right
where he's getting caught up on is it's not going to happen. Well, I agree.
Well,
but
no, we're making that assumption.
And that is,
What we're nodding to, you
give some.
We're crying out loud.
Okay, so that.
Break right here. Okay, stop talking for just a minute. you stop talking.
Okay, 9.5.
Go ahead. 9.5, and we're not saying it's tied to, but we're saying on the record, our allocations and 3% maintenance. Go. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. You're saying 9.5.
Hey,
you had a break for
yes, them. I am. Under that contingency, if they can agree to it.
But on the record, not tied to, on the record,
if they don't put it on the record,
then you're 6.5. 6.5
and 3. I think that's fair.
You're yes.
I'm 9.5 with those contingencies. And here's the thing. Let me tell you something that frustrates me about government, is I think we are in the mode right now of assuming the worst about our county partners. I think we need to educate each other. I think we need to assume the best in everyone, and we need to work with them and help explain our situation, that we've been beat up and missed our allocations for the last 3 years, and if we can please work together, we'll support them in this. The mayor did a great job and was very eloquent saying this. We will work with you. He will do the legwork. He will work between now and August to discuss this with each of them individually so they cannot say no to him, and they will actually make these motions for him and get these things on the record for him. I believe we can get to that point. We're good enough, they're good enough. Let's stop making assumptions about people trying to hurt and cut each other off the knees, because I think they could be making that about us. And I believe that we are better than that. And I believe that they
are
better than
us. Shall we trust? We're the heroes right now.
Good job. Thanks, Corley. Okay. So,
I'm sorry that I feel so bugged about this, but I just
Well, thank you for coming around and agreeing that there's a need for an increase. We've got to fund our public safety.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I agree with that, but I'm also
and Jared's
to see
trying
the
to protect
options
our allocations.
Right, and that's absolutely right. We've got to protect our allocations.
So you did 3-2-1.
For the record, I'm
and
not.
And he said 3-3.
3-2-1-2.
Okay. I said 3-3-2.
And he's
what, three, what, so, I'm hearing all different numbers. What
three,
is it?
3-2.
Same number. I think we said 3-2-1-2. Or if we say 3-3-0-2. Or just a total sum, but with the 3.
You know what we need to do?
Okay, so what is it?
All right. What is it? 3-2-1-2.
3-2-1-2 is my preference.
3-2-1-2.
I need to get this.
So 3-2-1-2.
That's on top of our initial 3.
Or even when you make
it
clear
when 3 comes in.
3
comes
in next year.
Without bullying him into none.
Well, no, and I will help the mayor if he wants that.
Are you
going to
be there?
I will go and work with Michael Jensen. I will go and work with
Jim
Bradley. I will go and work with Ben McAdams or Trent or whomever.
And she made the point that they know that, at least right now, they know that we're the ones that are willing to work with them.
Yes.
I think Riverton's being the obstinate one who just is
they're making us look
sitting,
you
sitting
know
in
what?
The corner.
He has one focus. He wants out of Slavica. He wants out.
But let's
that's
assume
yeah,
that that may only be
yeah.
his opinion. And so let's again work with their council also. Let's work for the betterment
that's
of the
like
whole district as
that.
Long as we're in
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So we need to have those conversations
yes.
between now and then.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they kind of know where we stand. And I think if they know that we're seriously
Jared
looking
can talk
at
to Trent. I
yeah.
can talk to Trent. I can
I know
talk
that,
to Tricia.
Well,
I can
who's
talk
all with Trent? Who's with you in the SLP?
Nobody.
No, they're
counting.
No, he said he's got one or two counseling. Mm-hmm.
They're split.
Okay, but I think we as a council have good consensus, so I think this was good dialogue. Thank you, Jared, for your bringing the discussion.
I think if they know where we're at that way, yeah, we're not saying, yeah, we're out of here.
But the politics we get.
We need
this
to find
a
poker
part of politics. We work together and negotiate and
we,
find a
you
solution
know what?
That will work
I
for
can,
everybody.
To Coralie's point, if I have my choice, I want to stay in Slavica. I really do. If we can get that to work, it's the best
if
model
we
for us,
could get what
we
need,
and
we
can get the allocations. I want to stay in there. I really
the
do. And I think we need to.
You guys are going
to I think we need to approach it in that way. That we're going to do everything we can to stay in Slavica.
Make two plans
and make it
yes.
work.
That,
okay.
That,
so,
that, I
all
the whole thing.
What
right.
I what
two
I'd
plans.
Like to do at some point, I'd like to get this printed off with a 9.5, a 3-3-3 with our allocations
on this.
Yeah, so that I can show them. Here's a spreadsheet.
Oh,
right. Good. All right, I'll take a motion.
I'll motion to adjourn.
Yay!
Aye.
I didn't take.